right, let's get it on. Welcome to a special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. I'm your host, and we're going to talk a little bit about social media today. How are people getting their information? Are they applying that information, that knowledge, to their restaurant selections, and whether or not it's a demographic thing? You know, I remember, you know what, my website is mikeboyle.com. My email is mike@mikeboyle.com. And as much as I hate to admit it, there are other Mike Boyles in the world. So the fact that I have the website with my name means that I got in early. I was a believer back in the 90s, back in the late 90s, that technology was going to be a way to go. And I remember 1998, 1999, 2000, asking a listener, they say, where is your newsletter? You usually pass out a sheet of paper with your upcoming events at your different meal deals. And I would say, well, it's online. And people would say, and yes, they would be an older demographic. They would say, I don't have a computer. Now, I will tell you this, I didn't understand it 25 years ago, because it's like having a library in your home. You're sitting there, you're watching the football game with your beer buddies, and you say, I wonder where that guy went to school. Surrey? Where did he go to school? Bang, it pops up. Or you can go, this is before Surrey, you could go to your website and you could just click in and they would tell you where that player went to college. So I didn't understand it then. I feel fairly safe in saying that most of those people have been culled out of the gene pool, probably through age, probably through passing on, probably through death or whatever it happens to be, or maybe even finally figuring out that you needed a computer. Also, we all have friends. Maybe you've got somebody that is so myopic that they say, I don't have a cell phone. Well, you know what? Having a cell phone is like having a computer, like having a library in your pocket. Maybe you've got somebody that says, I don't need the new iPhone Pro 15 like you do, Mike, because I'm not as cool as you are, but I've got a flip phone. But you know what? You need a phone. You need the information that's available to you. Do you need every conceivable restaurant app telling you that Monday's a free sandwich, telling you that Tuesday's a two-for-one, Wednesday telling you that it's kids eat free? Maybe not that much, but you know what? It is certainly a sign of the times. And a young lady that hosts a social media page called COS Foodies, Colorado Springs Foodies, popped up. I get people sending me and I'm a voracious reader. I am a sponge for information, because maybe this is a story that will appeal to the show. Maybe this is something that will work for the listeners. So, you know what? I reached out to Delilah Alla, and she's an interesting lady. She's got an interesting background, and like most people in the world, she is younger than me. And so I figured that she would bring another perspective. She would bring another demographic approach to it. So I've invited her to spend an hour with me here on the Restaurant Show. Delilah, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
All right. Interesting background, folks. She is a mother of two of the nicest young men you'll meet, two of the most polite people you'll meet, Latham and Atticus. And yes, she does plan on reading To Kill a Mockingbird to Atticus and Latham when they are just a little bit older. No banned books in the Alma household, that is for sure. She's an Air Force reservist, 16 years. Yes, yeah, she's going to go 20 and maybe pull the pin, maybe go a little bit longer. She's an E-7. And so she's got her hands full. She's got a husband that's a full-time worker as well, but she has taken time to start COS Foodies. Folks, I want you to be involved in the restaurant scene, wherever you happen to live. We know about Yelp. We know about the rating services for restaurants where, you know what, I remember being on the TV stations 25 years ago plus, and we used to say in the TV newsrooms, your opinion isn't news. Well, we have completely flipped that around to where everybody thinks their opinion is news about everything. Well, you know what, folks? That means there's a lot of clutter out there. That means that there is a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of disinformation. So let's talk with a social media expert. Her name is Delilah Alla, A-L-A, and she's sitting here in studio with me. And Delilah, why don't you tell the listeners what you do in your words?
Absolutely. So I have the Facebook page, COS Foodies. I created it just over 5 years ago, and it kind of happened on accident, actually. I was posting a lot about food. I love our dining scene and bar scene here in Colorado Springs. I think it's wonderful. And well, I've got a lot of siblings, and they gave me a hard time about posting more about food than my own kiddos. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to have my own food page one day. And sure enough, went through with it. Thought I might have 5 or 10 folks who enjoy our Colorado Springs food scene as much as I do. But it kind of just took off and kept growing and growing and growing. I've infused a little bit of my personality into it. I just think, man, life is short, too short to be focused on all the negativity. So I like to try and be as positive as I possibly can. I like to kind of intertwine my faith and my values into all the things that I do. So there's a little bit of that presence and a little part of my personality within the COS Foodies page. It just so happened I started the page about a year before COVID broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's when all of our restaurants and bars really, really started struggling. And that's when it kind of hit me really what the purpose of this page was supposed to be about. My parents had 2 different restaurants at separate times, different locations. And we really struggled as the family behind the restaurateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have 30 great days. They could put out 200 amazing meals. And all it would take is for one unsatisfied customer to just yell from the rooftops and try and represent everything about that restaurant. And so it really just became a place, the COS Foodies page, where we were going to just kind of support all of our restaurateurs and bar owners, and not just the owners themselves, but the families that are behind that, and also all of the employees that are there, and just ensure that they have a place too. So that's really kind of where COS Foodies took off.
You brought up a lot of different things there. And first of all, I'm glad to hear you say when COVID hit, restaurants struggled. We tend to paint with this dramatic, negative, too broad a brush. Oh my God, all the restaurants closed down. No, the restaurants that were shut down or had restrictions on seating or whatever it happened to be, the ones that figured it out are doing just fine. The ones that sucked their thumb, curled up in a ball and said, woe is me, they probably struggled whether or not they survived. And that's one of the things. I was recently at a cocktail party when somebody said, this is Mike Boyle. Oh, I know Mike Boyle. He's got the radio show. He's the food critic. And I said, no, I'm not the food critic.
Right.
I know people in the industry. I had my own restaurant for 15 years. I've been on the air for over 30. And so consequently, when I go to a restaurant, I introduce myself and I say, tell me what you're doing here. And if you're going to feed me a meal, hit me with your best shot. And that's, so I'm not a shill for the industry. And I have told people, I can't work with you. I have told people I can't do a radio show at your restaurant until you get a better grasp on what you're doing. And it may be a better grasp on the food, or it may be a better grasp on your attitude. But the point is that I want to get people out and about. I think that we all live in a little cocoon. It's been determined that people's world is generally about a 3-mile radius from where they live. That's where they take their kids to school, where they buy the groceries. It's where they get their tires. It's where their doctor is. So if we can have them tune into the restaurant show, and the term that I use is get them out of their rut. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about COS Foodies, because it generally tries to encourage people. Now, that doesn't restrict your contributors right. from saying what they may want to say, but your focus as the Facebook page, you as the mama of COS Foodies, you are trying to get people out. If you find a good burrito, a taco, a breakfast deal, whatever it happens to be, you try to get that out there. We do boil meal deals, and you were nice enough. I've been posting, hey, there's a nice meal deal. Not tune into the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, but here's where you're going to save a little money. That goes up on COS Foodies, and people have been taking advantage of that. So I think that the idea, there's too much negativity in this world.
Yes.
And I think that the idea of having it be a positive influence really is what makes a big, big difference with what you are trying to do.
I think so. And we've had quite a great response to keeping it as positive and friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about demographics with social media.
Well, and what we got to take a break, but I want you to hold that thought, because, you know, I think that there's probably nothing in the world more subjective than food.
Yes.
Everybody eats it. Most people try to eat out. So everybody thinks that not only do they have an opinion, but they think that they know what they're talking about.
Yes.
And many of them, unfortunately, don't. All right, let's get into the social media aspect of the restaurant shows. I'm your host, Mike Boyle, and I've got Dalila Alla, A-L-A, and she is, I'm going to refer to her as a social media food expert. Now, anybody that has a Facebook page, anybody that wants to set up a website, they can be in their underwear in the basement, and they every once in a while, you will see a post that says, the best pizza place in every state. All right, well, let me tell you something. I remember one time that was posted by a student at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hills. And I guarantee you, she has probably not had pizza in Boise, probably not had pizza in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But because of the internet and the availability, the access of information, you can come up with something. And I will look at it just to see. I don't look at all 50, but I'll go to Colorado and let's see what this young lady thinks is the best pizza. And quite often it'll be an obscure place that is not in one of the best of from the Springs, the best of from Springs Magazine, the Taste of Pikes Peak Dining Guide, or the Westward in Denver alternative newspaper, Best 100 Restaurants. So that's where I think that listeners have to be careful where you're getting the information. If somebody calls me and says, I'd like to go out to dinner. Well, wait, is it a special occasion? Where do you live? How much do you want to spend? What type of cuisine? Well, we'd like to go out for a good steak. Well, I'm going to recommend Prime Age Steakhouses, but a $90 steak may not be in your price point. So I might say, after given the parameters, I may say ABC. Well, my neighbor said D. Well, I don't know your neighbor. I don't know if you're, for all I know, your neighbor eats with his fingers. So, you know, so here's what you need to, it might be your drunken idiot brother-in-law. So you've got to know where you're getting your information from. How do you handle that with COS Foodies?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's probably the biggest pushback we get on the page. So overall, once either a post or a comment kind of goes into this train wreck of comments and just, nonstop. I just cut it off. I either turn off the commenting or I delete the post entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I really do feel like there's...
How often do you delete a post?
I probably end up deleting at least one post every other day.
You know, it's interesting because When I first went on the air, somebody would call up and say, well, I want to tell you about what a lousy job this restaurant did. I ordered bourbon and water and they brought scotch and water. I say, did you talk to the manager? Did you ask? I said, this show is not a bitch session. So I'm going to just tell you something. You know what? If you have not gone to your server, if you have not gone to the manager and at some point received satisfaction, then you're welcome to send me an email. And I will probably not put it on the air, but I will probably, if I know the establishment, I will call the owner or manager and say, you know, you ought to reach out to this person.
Right. And I think a lot of times
you and I are trying to get people out and about.
Exactly. Like, let's get out. Let's have a great time. Post your pictures, your smiles, the people that you're celebrating with. That's what COS Foodies is all about. It's what are some amazing moments we have as foodies, whether we're dining out or
you know
making
what,
fresh food in
and
the
I'm
kitchen.
Sorry to interrupt. But
oh, no, go for it.
It is my show. Just kidding, folks. But you, what you said there, it's amazing what you said about moments.
Yes.
And experiences. You know, I'll have people call up and say, you know, my husband and I had two friends in town. They were in the army together. And we went out and we had a fabulous meal at this restaurant. And the server was so nice. And it was good to be with friends. I said, what'd you eat? I don't remember. But it was
right.
The experience. Go
yes.
ahead, Delilah.
Yes, absolutely. It's often about the experience. So many times folks will ask me, well, what's your favorite place? Where should I go for a steak?
I never use the word favorite.
I know, but
I never use the word best. Because at a cocktail party, I'll bet you, how many times have you been asked, so what's the best new restaurant
in
town?
If I had a nickel for every time I was asked that.
Yeah.
But here's the best part about it, is that your best and your favorite is all going to depend on the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody ends up with a salad that didn't have enough croutons, or their server who, you know, somebody couldn't make it and they were running 10 tables by themselves and they didn't get their
fork.
Or
you're trying to have a romantic dinner and the server keeps coming over and saying, can I get you anything else? How's everything? Can't you see that we're trying to create a little mood?
A moment.
Here? Yeah. So
it's just, you know, you're right. There is Google. There's Yelp. There's all of those places where if you want to hold somebody else's opinion in the highest regard, some stranger's opinion, go to those pages. But I certainly don't plan on.
Well, and for example, TripAdvisor.
Right.
TripAdvisor will give you awards if you post more and more. Well, you know what? I would no more take a TripAdvisor's recommendation on a hotel in a foreign country than right. I would walk to that country. I mean, you know, to me, you have got to know where your information is coming from. I do not watch on television any local or national news.
Oh.
I read.
Yes. Okay.
I read, and I have a number of different sources that pop up online that I subscribe to, mm-hmm. and I can get all of the information, whatever the biases happen to be, whatever side of the aisle they happen to be coming from. Obviously, this is in reference to politics, but it's also in reference to the news, and it's in reference to, I think you can apply it to restaurants as well.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that we might miss, if we're only focused on looking at restaurant reviews, what we might miss is what that restaurant's really doing mm-hmm. and the moments that they might be able to create. Mm-hmm. And the
that's
variety of
I
service
ask,
that
and,
they're able to offer, right?
And,
it's
and
not
I,
just
I know listeners are saying, Mike, stop interrupting this delightful lady. But you know, the thing is I think that's what I say to a restaurant when I meet a new restaurant tour and go to a new establishment, and they'll say, well, I want to be known for good food and good service. Great. Everybody who's ever gone into the restaurant business wants to be known for good food and good service. What are you going to do to set it apart? I remember the people used to say, Mike Boyle has got the coldest beer box in town. Now, that may not sound like much. It was a steakhouse. But boy, I'll tell you what, on a 90-degree day, when the stockbrokers got done at 11, played a round of golf, and at 3 o'clock came into my place,
yep.
they drank a bunch of those beers because they were ice cold. So you've got to do something that sets you a little bit apart.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I certainly see a lot of folks saying, oh, do I need to go out to eat in Denver? Is there anything available here in Colorado Springs? And that's why I hope a lot of people do get out. We have amazing establishments here who are creating so much personality mm-hmm. within their restaurants. Go check them out and learn a little bit more. Make a friend. The boys and I, we just went to breakfast at Mountain View Cafe in Black Forest, and we love going there because what they do, I think, better than most is they give you that true small town experience, right? You go in, they serve you a cup of coffee, they know you by name, and they're always there to warm up your coffee. And it's wonderful. And that's why we keep going back.
No question.
The food's pretty darn good too.
Well, and you know, I went on the air here in October of 1995. October 1995, you were, what, in junior high school?
I was in fifth grade.
but the point is that the dining scene, I was already on the air in Denver. I was more Denver-oriented. The dining scene down here was woeful. There were restaurants that had been around for 25 years, 20 years, 15 years. And people said, you got to go here, you got to go there. But they were adequate. And if that was what you, listen, if you've never worn silk, burlap feels fine.
Right.
But the scene, and I can tell you about the Amanda Burrs with Amanda's Fonda, and I can tell you about Randy Price with the Rocky Mountain Restaurant Group, and Franco Bassani with Paravicini's. And these are people that raise the level. And now we have in Colorado Springs and in Denver. Denver was this cow town, meat and potatoes. It's a very vibrant restaurant scene. And I like the fact that you mentioned Denver and Colorado Springs because there used to be, Denver ended at the Tech Center. Colorado Springs ended going north at Academy. And now those barriers are broken down and people are going, I'll go mention an event in Castle Rock and I'll get it from Denver and Colorado Springs. I'll mention an event in Colorado Springs, people will drive down. So if we can keep people moving around
right. With
a little bit of different, what are we going to offer that's different? And most of the things with my events are price incentives. But it's the food. Have you eaten this pizza? Have you had this burger? Yeah. Do you think I'm going to recommend something to you that I haven't eaten? So I think that that's important that you know where you're getting your information from. Anybody can create a Facebook page today.
Yes.
And bill themselves as a restaurant, quote unquote, foodie.
Right.
And I'm going to just tell you something. We're going to talk about this, demographics, because I believe that America is a nation of eaters.
Yes.
We are not diners. I know that Delilah and her husband can go to the Penrose Room and pair their own wine. I know that Mike Boyle can go out for a prime age steak and pair his own wine. But most of the time it's, hi, honey, what's for dinner? All right, continuing on this social media hour here on The Restaurant Show, because you know what, folks? I want you to be involved in the restaurant scene, wherever you happen to live. And I also think that food is a big part of travel. I know when I've traveled around this country, all 50 states, I took my daughter to all 50 states. I threw it out to you, and you told me about great restaurants in North Dakota. Who'd have thunk it? You told me about great restaurants in Tennessee and Oklahoma. You've told me about places in New England. And when my daughter and I used to travel a little bit more, she's married now, but when we would go to foreign countries, she would do research on places that we really needed to go. So if I, through my shows, and Delilah, my guest, can be a resource for you. Now, I think you have to be careful not to get paralysis by analysis. You have to be careful not to get on information overload. I know that if you ask somebody a question, well, if you ask 20 people, you get 10 yeses and 10 nos, and then you're right back where you started from. So I think that you have to run it through a personal filter. Don't you agree with that, Delilah?
Absolutely. I think if you do it that way, whomever you're trusting with their opinion, they're going to understand what you're really looking for, the entire experience. And they might even understand your palate a little bit more. I've had folks ask me about, hey, where's a great Cajun place to go to? I might recommend somewhere, But if they don't like spice, that might not be a good recommendation. So we really do need to know who we're getting our
information
from.
Is the green chili
from.
Hot? Well, yeah.
What
first
does
of
hot
all,
mean?
green chili is supposed to be hot, but I don't want it to wreck my day. You know, so I think that you have to be careful about these generic generalizations. Let's talk about demographics, Delilah. Talk radio is older, 50 and up, okay? Social media is younger. I am maxed out on Facebook, both my friend and fan. But I don't get much play on Instagram, which is a younger demographic. I remember having a restaurant saying, we'd love to do one of those meal deals, but I need to run it by my marketing guru, who turned out to be a young lady in a salon who just thought that she was a little bit of a marketing expert. And so she called me up and she said, I posted you up on Instagram and you just don't get very many hits and I don't think we want to do something. Can you tell me something that would help my client sitting here with me? And I said, yeah. If I talk about that client's restaurant and encourage people to go to it, the building will fall down. That's how busy you will be. But we won't have a bunch of 20-somethings and a bunch of 30-somethings. But there is one nice thing about being 50, 60, 70, is they generally have
a little bit more
money. Homeowners, professionals, semi-professionals, and so forth. So one of the things that I really enjoyed about your post, while social media goes younger, Delilah, you recently, we were together at one of my events, and you posted it, and people responded. Now, we were busy, but we were a little busier because of your following. What do you think about demographics? 55 and up, it's been determined. They want their meat and potatoes. They don't want to try Brussels sprouts, some new chef de cuisine's way of preparing them. Younger, 40s, 35, 30, they're a little bit more willing to experiment. Maybe a little bit of mixology, that type of thing, new cocktails. What have you found?
Yeah, I think I've found a little bit of a mix, especially here in the Springs, just because we are a military community.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly on the COS Foodies page, our largest demographic is between 35 and 44.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting, mm-hmm. right?
It's also a number. It's also a market. You know, most companies will say the 21 to 34 demographic, if they can get you there, if they can get you to drink Pepsi, if they can get you to drink Coors beer, if they've got you. So by when you're in 35 to 44 is certainly a secondary market there.
I understand that logic, but I also do feel like what you were speaking to just a moment ago, if we're a little bit more established in life,
mm-hmm.
we might be dining more than eating, as you said before. And I think,
how about eating out as opposed to dining? And I only make the distinction in terms of dining being a little bit more, you know, let's say the 35-year-old is having an anniversary, the 40-year-old is having an anniversary. They may dine out regularly to a family-friendly, casual establishment. But for their 15th, 20th anniversary, they may say, let's go to a Prime Age steakhouse. That's the differentiation. That's the differentiation I make.
Okay, I understand that. So as far as the demographics with just social media at large, and I think especially how you had mentioned Instagram, I think absolutely there is a younger demographic mm-hmm. on Instagram. We've got some great restaurants here who are doing an amazing job posting on Instagram. Chiba Bar downtown, they've got an incredible account. I don't post on Instagram anything food related. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different feel for me.
And
on
you
Instagram.
Want to know something? I've stopped just for the simple reason that, you know, I mean, it's at some point you only have so much time.
Exactly. I do not live for social media.
And I'm
media.
Not even, I don't even have two young kids in the Air Force Reserve with a full-time job and yeah. a husband. in my case, it would be a wife. I still go that way.
Yeah.
But the point is that, and you're busy. So at some point, you got to figure out, I'm busy enough that I say, you know what? I'll post on Facebook. I'll post on COS Foodies. I'll get promos on the air. I'll put out a newsletter. I've got my website, which gets thousands of hits. But Instagram, I'm going to just put you over here.
Right. And I don't have all that going on, Mike. I pretty much stick just to my Facebook page for the most part.
I'm talking about all the other stuff in your life.
But there's a lot going on, right? We're all a little busy, though, aren't we?
Sure.
So I just try to make as powerful of an impact as I can in that little bit of time that I've got. Mm-hmm. And so I just stick to Facebook for the most part. I don't live for social media, but I do allow it to annotate some special moments in my life.
I get calls periodically, although because I've been on the air so long, I've been able to kind of, I don't want to say educate the listeners, but let them know how I think. I let them know who I am. When I went on the air, the rule of thumb was you don't tell them anything about you. You don't tell them about your family. You don't tell them about your kids. Well, you know what? My daughter grew up with my audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will still come up to me and say, so we've listened to your show for years. You got a beautiful daughter. How old is she now? 12? 12. She's 34. I mean, I've been on the air that long and she's been with me. So I think that you have to know a little bit about people as the host of your site, as the host of my show, so that they know I do books. Well, I'm a historical novel, thriller guy. I get books from publicists all over the country, and I tell them, don't bother with sci-fi. And even though it's a restaurant show, for God's sakes, don't send me cookbooks. I'm not interested. I'm trying to get people out to dinner. So I think that they have to know you a little bit, and that comes through your show. I don't take calls from people that say, where should I go to dinner tonight?
Oh,
you do take posts from people that say, I'm hungry, where should I go?
Yes.
I don't know their sex. I don't know where they live. I don't know their financial circumstances. That becomes difficult, I look, when I see your post.
Yeah, so we do get a lot of posts like that. And usually one of my first questions is, what's the experience you're looking for? I don't
Very
ask
nice.
About the cuisine that they're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. What is the experience?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have a great time? Do you want it to be a little bit rowdy? Are you looking to go to a honky tonk afterwards? Or is this a romantic time? What is this?
Yeah, what are your financial circumstances?
Oh, right.
That's important. I'll never forget. And I had a nice steakhouse. And I had a guy call me up and he wanted to make a reservation. And I could tell he was young. And he was coming and it was a special occasion with his girlfriend. I don't remember what it was. And I said to him, you know, you sound a little young. And I said, why are you coming here? And he said, because I have a coupon. I'll never forget that. And you know what? Yes, it was a nice steakhouse. And no, I didn't coupon. But I'll tell you what, I did in January when it was colder than hell in Colorado. And everybody had blown their budget on Christmas presents. And nothing was coming up to February. So I would do an incentive for January because I'd been there long enough. I knew where I wanted to market. But I think that if you're going to ask that question either to me or to Delilah, you need to know what your needs are. I remember a guy called me up one time and he said, you know, you think you're a big shot. This is back when Outback came, 1996, and okay. Outback was selling a steak for what, $12? I don't know. And he called me up and he said, you think you're a big shot because you go out and eat those $12 Outback steaks. Well, I want you to know something. I had a great steak the other night for $6.95. And I said, well, sir, you went to the Western Sizzlin', you went to something like that. I think they do a nice job. But let me tell you this. You did not have a great steak for $6.95. you had a great $6.95 steak. There is a difference.
A big difference.
There is a major, major difference. Her name is Delilah Alla, A-L-A. And I have been, I mean this not because she's sitting here, but I have been so impressed with this young lady, with her Facebook page, COS Foodies. And after meeting her and seeing her in operation and getting to know her a little bit and having her come out to a couple of the Boyle meal deals, I'll tell you something. I would suggest, if you haven't already, that you maybe put that in your favorites. I'm not talking about getting 20 or 30 or 40, but I think that if you go to MikeBoyle.com, if you listen to the Mike Boyle shows, and if you go to COS Foodies, I think that you're going to get some pretty good information on places where you can go out and get a good meal, fair price, and have a wonderful, wonderful experience. Delilah, I'd like to talk about, so people, wherever they get their information, you've made the decision to go out. And I think it's at that point time to accept a little bit of personal responsibility. You've made the decision. Now, how can you enhance the experience? If you're going to go out for dinner and they take reservations, I would suggest making one. I don't care if it's a snowy night in January. You know what? That way they know you're coming. They know that they can count on having some business. They know that they can get a server. And when you talk to people, I always say, you know what? We'd like a 7 o'clock reservation for two. My name is Mike. I used to take my reservations by first name at my restaurant. I thought that that was much more personal. But you can say Boyle. You can say Alla, A-L-A. But it's a party of two. And you know what? We'd like to, it's a business meeting, so we'd like to be in a corner. Or it's a, I'd like to spend some time with my wife. I don't get enough time with her. Can we maybe have a booth? Do you have booths? Ask them. And ask them price range and menu and stuff like that. And don't call in the middle of lunch. And don't call in the middle of Saturday night dinner. You know what they say in the military? You're an E7 in the military. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Yes, sir.
And so you know what? And then when you get there, so that way when you say, I'm Mike and my reservation was for 7 o'clock. And if you're the restaurant, don't say, who took the reservation? Even if you've lost it, haven't taken it. You say, oh, we're so glad you're here. And you can go back in the kitchen and you can go, ah, we don't have a table for them. But you know what? That's not their responsibility.
Right.
And I tell people, when you make a reservation, fine, may I know your name, please? Yes, my name is Susan. I made the reservation with Susan. And then you sit down and you made a good point. When you get seated, how do you conduct yourself at the table?
For me and for my family, we really like to kind of set the tone a little bit with our server. We also like to practice empathy. I don't know if they're working on a double or not. Mm-hmm. So I like to just come in positive, ready to go. I get to dine out. This is a privilege. Why wouldn't I be happy?
Yeah, I know that you've had your butt kicked all week by potholes and brown clouds and bad news and 24/7 news cycles. But that doesn't mean that you get to walk in and beat up on the server. You know what? We're the Alla family. We're the Boyle family. And what's your name? And if they don't introduce themselves and say, you know what? We've never been here before. And if you're a server and you say, we've never been here before, can you give us maybe your most popular suggestion or a dish that you really like? And if the server says, well, everything's good, I always say, well, you know what? I can't eat everything. So let's go back to my question. Let's narrow it down a little bit. But don't you think that that's important for the dining experience? And if anything goes wrong, how you present the circumstance will definitely determine how it's handled.
Absolutely. And grace goes a really long way. Just joyfully and gracefully letting that person know it's okay. Because more than likely, as a consumer, we've probably messed up once or twice in our jobs too.
Yeah. So what do you do for a living? Well, I'm in computers. Oh, nothing ever goes wrong in computers.
Oh, not ever.
Yeah. So you know what? It's not like we saw you walking across the parking lot and said, let's stick it to that couple coming.
Right.
We're going to do the best we can. So start with that attitude as a consumer.
I've had the best experiences almost every time when one little thing has gone wrong and we just show a little bit of joyful grace, that person all of a sudden wants to be a part of the experience. The server does.
Yeah.
And they want to say, wow, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me grace. It really goes a long way with people. And I just think that as a consumer, if you want to have the best possible experience, don't be afraid to set the tone. Hopefully your server is helping set that tone too. And if there's a little mishap or, you know, your fork didn't get included in your silverware roll, it's okay. You're going to be just fine.
And if your server and or manager, if it went to that level, was able to resolve it.
Yes.
Don't be one of these people that drives at 100 miles an hour to get home to your computer to go online and just, you know what? I will tell you this, and I don't care if it's a dining experience. I don't care if it's responding to a request. Sometimes if you walk around the block before you hit send, that will work out better for everybody.
I couldn't agree more. And I think most of those kinds of reviews that we have, my policy is if I'm not willing to say it to their face, I'm not going to put it on the internet.
Keyboard warriors. That's what
right.
they call
it.
Delilah, I cannot tell you how nice it's been to have you in. And thank you for sharing your thoughts. And I can tell you, I know my listenership reasonably well. Not all personally. They haven't all traveled with me. They haven't all come to an event. But I know that they are always looking for information. If they can get a little bit of help in their, you know, nobody has enough money, nobody has enough free time. So when you get a chance to go out with a little bit of free time and a little bit of money to relax, you want the experience to come across very well. Her name is Delilah Alla, A-L-A, and it's COS Foodies. And I got a feeling she'll take some more members.
I absolutely will.
All right, that wraps up this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show and Social Media Show. Thanks for tuning in.